It's you know the drill with Sam and Rutz.
Cold open this time.
No cold open. We're getting right to it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. So if you guys listened to last week's episode, you guys know I tease this out because I'm mad. I am genuinely mad. Okay. For those of you who actually still watch Netflix,
two angry weeks for you.
I know. No, I'm not showing that much emotion because I'm a robot and all that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I know I'm not the only one. I know it's been a couple. At this point, it'll be a couple of weeks out since it hit its major, right? But at least right now, as of recording this week, the number one show on Netflix is American Nightmare. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, do you know anything about this show?
You were telling me about it the other day on the phone, and I don't think I absorbed fully what you were telling me.
Okay. So, American Nightmare is a true crime show. And as far as true crime shows are concerned, right? Or documentary, let's put it that way. It's not, like, absurdly violent, right? There's no, serial killer, no murder, anything like that. Essentially, it settles around the story in, like, 2014, 2015, of a couple that lives in the city of Mare Island, and in the middle of the night they're broken in, two people supposedly, like flash them with lights, give them a mixture of drugs, and kidnap this guy's girlfriend, Denise Hopkins.
Huh.
And the weird thing is like he immediately goes to the police the next day because he gets a phone. They leave a phone and they're like, "Hey, contact the don't talk to the police. Standard kidnapping fare, right?"
Right.
And so, he doesn't hear. He doesn't hear from them at all. So I think if I remember, he makes the decision to just contact the police. He's like, "I'm not gonna screw around with this. We need to get to the bottom of this," because I believe they ask him for, a really low amount for a kidnapping, per se.
Hmm.
And he doesn't have it, right? So he's like, I need to get someone involved. So he talks to the police. They ask him to come in. He goes through. He tells the story. And at this point, he no longer is receiving any information from the kidnappers about his girlfriend. And so we kind of get this backstory of, he is essentially was emotionally cheating on his current girlfriend with his ex-fiance, trying to get things back together with her, and they all work together, so everything it's awkward, but they're making it work kind of situation.
Yeah.
And so he starts going through the details of the actual night and what happened, and the police are like, "Hey, why didn't you if this happened, why didn't you call, why'd you wait 12, 15 hours right before letting us know, basically?"
Yeah.
And it was like the drugs just wore off. I tried to have to deal with this on my own before getting the police involved because that's what they wanted, et cetera, et cetera. And the police do not believe him.
Hmm.
Like, this documentary is split between, one-on-one interviews and then actual, I'm saying actual. We don't obviously know how much it is because, it's a documentary, so it could be reenacted or whatever. But supposedly, security cam footage of the actual interviews, of when he reported things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a clip of this officer. His name's Officer Mustard, Mike Mustard, I think is what it is. Every time he comes up, I laugh. What a dumb name. But he's sitting there listening to this Denise's boyfriend tell the story, and he goes, "It's an elaborate story, but no one's going to believe you. I don't believe you, and right now I'm sitting here going, how can I spin this to make it seem like you're the monster?"
Wait, you're thinking this?
No, this is what the cop tells the boyfriend that's grieving, trying to figure out what happened to his girlfriend.
Oh, so he was, saying that, "I'm trying to figure out how to spin this to make you the monster." He said that to him?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, they get the FBI involved, and at this point, like, we have no idea what happened to the girlfriend, right? How the series is split up, it's in three episodes. It's the first one's the boyfriend, first one is the girlfriend, and third one's the aftermath. And so they basically detain him overnight, like, for X amount of time. They are breaking this guy down. They put in a polygraph test from the FBI agent.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get to see the actual test taking place. But we see right after the end, he goes, okay, I have no doubt in my mind that you failed this. And you failed every single question, right? So they are just breaking this guy down. And at the point, they find out, this is when he finally goes, I need a lawyer, right? So he's been in, you know, police custody for a dozen hours at least. And this is finally when he's like, I just need a lawyer. Because clearly you guys are, you know, going to spin this. You were saying that I murdered her, right? And I'm already like, you know, that is obviously, that happens a lot. And it's a sad thing, but that does happen a lot. Like,
yeah,
a woman goes missing, good chance that there is her, it's her spouse that did it, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, they just tear this guy apart. He is mentally breaking. And this is when, like, you know, police is getting involved. Or at least not police, but press coverage is starting to show up. Like, where is she? You know, beautiful white, you know, blonde white woman. They're like, where is she? You know, it's one of those situations, right? It whips into the frenzy. And this is what this part is interesting is the other good part of the story is they reach out to someone from one of the local major papers, and they do like a good part of the throughout the documentary. They're like, they're the press side, right? They're like, this is what we're seeing, you know, this is what we're reporting, like, where is she, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
End of the first episode, she shows up at her family home, 400 miles away from where she was kidnapped, totally fine.
Yeah.
At least that's what it appears to be, because they do get a proof of life, you know, concept, essentially, and it's so like weirdly jarring.
What's a proof of life concept?
So a proof of life concept, I don't know why I put the word concept in there, to be frank. Okay. So proof of life essentially is it's when someone's being held for ransom. They have a recording or a call that's like stating like something that's in the newspaper. Or something.
Okay.
You know, it's basically saying, like, to show that they're alive and that it's not a recording. It's they're talking about something that immediately occurred that was, like, just reported or just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, she straight up goes, hey, so this is my name. I'm Denise Hopkins. I've been kidnapped. But other than that, I'm fine. Like, it's a totally eerie, weird proof of concept. They're like, she's totally chill that she just got kidnapped, but that's it.
Oh, like her going back to her parents' house?
No. So before she gets back to their parents' house, they get this proof of life, like it's a recording, right? It's just like a phone call, and it's just like she is so chill. Like, hey, yeah, so I got kidnapped, but I'm fine. Like that's her delivery, basically.
Hmm.
So people, like the media, people, everyone. There's a lot of weird things that are happening with this case.
Okay.
And again. Police are not doing a damn thing. They're trying to pin it on the boyfriend. Then she shows up, right? She's at her home, 400 miles of where she was kidnapped from, you know, but she's alive. She's well-ish. Okay.
Well-ish. Oh, okay.
Cut to next episode. Now it's her story, right? She tells the details of what happened,
mm-hmm.
the kidnapping, whatnot. She's shoved in a car, driven, you know, X amount away, whatever. And she's kept in this home for about 48 hours, give or take, where she's raped twice.
Oh.
This is the thing. She's raped twice as essentially so they can use it as evidence to prevent the boyfriend from going to the police. Okay? They're blackmailing her. And the first time, it happened, typical rape case. Second one, the guy goes, we need to make it like consensual, right? We need it to be like that we're lovers and that we're having an affair, basically, is his idea. And so she goes along with it because, like, this guy is kidnapping me. Like, I'm fearing for my life. I don't know what's going to happen, right? And so couple of more guys show up. I think supposedly she hears another guy at least show up. And they eventually figure out that, okay, we're no longer in contact with your boyfriend. We need to cut our losses, right? And so he goes, I'm going to drive you home. And she doesn't believe him. But that's what he does. He drives her home, drops her off, and just, like, totally leaves. She has no idea what he looks like. She can tell what he sounds like, but she has no idea what he looks like. She can't identify him or anything like that. She could identify the car and, like, a couple of other things, but that's it.
Okay. And they did this because they wanted to keep him from going to the police?
No, this is what we end up finding out is... this was trying to get money, right? Out of the boyfriend. But she was not, the girlfriend Denise was not the target. The original target was the ex-fiance who was living at that house like 3 months before, before the events of the actual kidnapping.
Okay, before she was the ex-fiance?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So... But, and that's part of the reason why, like, they didn't harm Denise. They let her go and whatnot. It's because she wasn't the target. Like, she's just they understand that she's the victim in this, right? And so there's this, like, weird level of, like, care from the kidnappers.
Yeah, that is weird. Like, why were they saying, oh, you're this one person, not the other? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's weird, right? And so she gets back. Okay. The two lawyers on both sides are, like, keeping them apart, right? Like, you guys can't collude, right? Otherwise it's going to get ridiculous. Yeah. However, when
I would like to think that's what the lawyers actually said. Otherwise it's going to get ridiculous. That's right. the legal term.
Well, so finally, like, I think after a day, whatever, the girlfriend goes to talk to the police. And she tells, like, the actual kidnapping is the same, has all the same details as the boyfriend's, like, so you think, okay, this is more evidence that this actually happened, right?
That he was telling the truth?
Exactly.
Okay.
And so, instead, this between the police, not believing in them, right? And then the media is now talking, how they're describing everything, especially because she came back and she's, according to the media, not hurt. That this is a real life Gone Girl situation. So for those of you who are not familiar.
Me.
Okay. Have you never seen the movie Gone Girl?
No.
Okay.
When did it come out?
So Gone Girl was like 2014.
That makes sense. Was that,
Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. Oh, and Neil Patrick Harris.
Ah, NPH.
Yeah. And so the concept of that that movie is Rosamund Pike is dating Ben Affleck and or married to. They're relations. Okay. And right. She finds out that Ben Affleck is cheating on her. Right. So she, like, snaps and instead decides to basically go missing and kidnap herself. And I actually think. No, she ends. Yeah, so she. The original plan was to kidnap herself. Then she actually ends up framing her husband for murder, for her murder specifically, as payback for cheating on her.
Okay.
And then she ends up, like, coming back, and it's a whole mess.
Oh, I see. So they were trying to, like, spin this into that.
Exactly. So this story, this couple from American Nightmare, is now being pinned as the real life Gone Girl. And that's how the media is spinning it. That's how the story spins it and whatnot. Like, we don't believe you. You find out that your boyfriend's, trying to get back with his ex. So you put up this whole elaborate plan, right? you get kidnapped. Because, admittedly, I can't go through all the details because, frankly, it's not fresh in my mind anymore. But, like, the story of how they were how she was kidnapped is weird. Like, it's just weird, okay?
Yeah.
And so, I totally kind of get that part of it where, you know, maybe they won't be as, you know, reliable, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Or believable. Anyway, so this keeps happening, right? Second episode ends with this. That, remember that I told you that there was that, the press agent from that newspaper that was telling, like, the press part of the story?
I know you were telling me a lot, and I think I don't think I absorbed a lot of what you were saying.
Yeah, so we get the police side of the story, the couple side of the story, and the press side of the story in this miniseries. And so the press side of the story is told through this person who works for a large newspaper in a large city. Because I'm trying not to get to the whole twist of why I'm mad about it just yet.
I do know that twist, but anyway. Yeah.
And so they're telling the story, and they go, now, this is the weird thing. We get emails, and we start getting a lot of emails from the supposed kidnappers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
These kidnappers are watching the news and the coverage, and they are pissed that they are not, that the public is not believing the couple, that the kidnapping happened. So they're showing, like, they're sending pictures of the gun they used, you know, to kidnap them. They're showing pictures of, you know, like, tape and zip ties, like, stuff they used to bound Denise.
Oh, I see. So basically, these guys did the kidnapping, and then they're getting upset because their kidnapping is, they think they're losing credibility, and it's going to make...
So that's how I thought it was originally. But that's not necessarily the reason. Remember that the girlfriend, Denise, was not the victim. Or was not the intended victim.
Hmm.
So, they're saying, hey, this happened. There's no reason to slander the names of, you know, Denise and her boyfriend. They are good people.
Like, wait, the kidnappers?
Yes, the kidnappers are backing up the couple that they kidnapped.
That's so weird.
Exactly. So what I wanted to talk about. So, police don't do anything about it. Media is just tearing this couple apart. It jumps ahead like 2.5 months, 3 months in time, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, at this point, like, the story is over. We're waiting for the couple to get charged, right? They're like, what are they going to get charged with? You know, conspiracy, you know, wasting government resources, all that kind of stuff, right? Cut to another police officer, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one in a different city, about an hour, give or take, away. And she starts investigating the story of this woman being kidnapped, right? There's multiple kidnappings happening. And yeah. They've got another... they're weird, right? So, like, for example, one of the women who's... this cop is investigating has someone break in, and the guy attempts to rape her, right? And he can't do it. He can't go through with him. And so what makes it weird is then he starts giving her advice, like, hey, you should get, like, a big dog. This would prevent this from happening again. I don't want this to happen to you again. And starts giving her, like, counter, you know, survival advice, basically.
That's really strange. So it's, like, a bad person who is, like, also has a conscience somehow, yeah, but is not,
exactly.
Like... That's so weird. And is this the same person?
We don't know that yet. So, she starts investigating a little bit more and finds out, oh, in the city where this whole story is taking place, right? There's someone known as the Creeper that is going around and, like, creeping through windows, stealing things from people, like, you know, generally a public nuisance. Not necessarily, like, I think there was one more, like, thick rape charge.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's just like he's creeping and the police aren't doing anything about it. So the community gets around and they try to figure out who this person is, right?
Hmm.
And then at about the same time the rape cases like actually started coming in, these creeper cases started disappearing, right? So there's that correlation there. So this cop figures out who the guy is, finds out how to contact his mother, and his mother's like, does not, know what's going on. So she's just like, oh yeah, so-and-so is, here, he's renting my cabin in this place, right? And mm-hmm. So they go to the cabin, he's there, they arrest him, okay? Think, case closed, right? She finds a pair of these goggles, right? Like diving goggles with a strand of blonde hair in it. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is important because one of the main details of Denise and her boyfriend's, the kidnapping is that these guys came in with goggles on, and that's how they blinded them, like with goggles that were completely blacked out. And so that's one of those key like identifiers that like people are weird. Why would you do that? Like, what's the point with these goggles? Okay. And so I don't know how she didn't just like run DNA and figure that out. I don't know how DNA analysis necessarily works when it comes to hair. But this cop like goes through all of these cases, right? And just like starts exploring all these other options, trying to figure out what's going on. And eventually, after watching like coverage through TV, I think she talks to another police officer or something like over coffee.
Yeah.
Finds out about the whole Gone Girl case and sees that the woman is blonde. Yeah, that Denise is blonde. And so she actually links the two cases and ta-da, this guy was the one who kidnapped her, essentially. He comes out and like, admits it. Ta-da. However, story doesn't stop there. It does blow up completely saying, the Gone Girl case was real. It actually happened. Like, media publicly apologizes. Police don't do anything about it, obviously.
Of course.
So, the end of the documentary is them essentially, it's interviewing the boyfriend and Denise. And it's reading through the affidavit. We talked about this yesterday. Or whatever, yeah. We talked about it. The affidavit, for those of you who don't know, basically details the steps police took in the investigation in order to reach the suspect, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it basically flats out saying that the initial police department they contacted it didn't do jack shit. The FBI agent who they brought in didn't do jack shit and was involved because he previously dated the ex-fiance who was the intended target. Okay. So he should not have been in the investigation whatsoever. But apparently when they appealed it, the higher-ups said, oh, no, his conduct was fine. He did everything right. Okay. So here's the real kicker, y'all. I want to talk about this because this was all local. Okay?
Yeah. This is all
local.
Local to you, by the way.
Local to me. Local to me. Yeah, because I'm in the Bay Area. I've already talked about this before. So, I'll give you an idea. All the cities of where this took. So, the police department is in the Vallejo Police Department. Everything happened on Mare Island, which is a weird place. I can talk about that for ages. That's a weird place. But, and the police officer who actually ended up saving everything is in Dublin. That's all, within a couple hour drive for me, give or take. Like, for example, the opening shot they have of the company, the family, the home of the main two people that were kidnapped, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had to pause and I looked at it and go, I was across the street from there taking pictures like a week ago. I recognized almost every spot here in this miniseries. And so it made it incredibly uncomfortable to watch. However, it kind of it made me pissed off because it reaffirmed my suspicions, right? Like, it's a general understanding in the people who live around here, right? You don't go to Vallejo. It's just not worth anything. Sure, you can go for, like, the theme park, right? But that's not a city. Like, you go to experience anything good, right? Like,
right.
The police department is corrupt. They won't do jack to help you. So this kind of reaffirmed that whole issue. For example, and this is what got me. Like, this is what sparked the whole thing. So, at the end of the series, they're showing, like, you know, like any documentary series would, like, here's what happened afterward, right? So, like, the couple sued the police department, got, like, $2.5 million out of it. They settled for it.
Mm-hmm.
The Vallejo PD basically did not have to do jack to admit to their crimes.
Of course.
And the remember that cop I mentioned? Officer Mike Mustard?
Yeah, that doofus.
Yeah, he won Cop of the Year for that year that he had hit all that.
Wow.
Mike Mustard, Cop of the Year 2015. Yeah. I wish I had, you know, better faith in my local-ish police officers, but this definitely reaffirmed that it did not. And obviously, plenty of it was probably, you know, hyped up for television, but at the same time, you know, I think it buried the basis of just how absolutely useless and corrupt, you know, that Department of Public Safety is concerned.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it. I will say, if you do want an interesting miniseries, I recommend it. It's only 3 episodes.
That's today's rec.
Yeah, you could blaze through it in probably 2.5 hours. I recommend it. At the same time, it's just like, be prepared, because it is, despite not, you know, being that, like, as horrific as far as crimes are concerned, mm-hmm. It's a trip. It's a weird experience.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, like, anytime when, you know, the criminal that committed the crime on you is more helpful and more concerning about your well-being than the police are, that's a problem.
I'm so perplexed by this the kidnapper. It's such a strange...
Yeah, well, it's not like he was in, like, some, you know, gangbanger off the street kind of situation. Like, he was he suffered, to give you a little bit of background, but, like, he was an army veteran, suffered from PTSD, and became, like, an immigration lawyer in San Francisco.
The kidnapper did,
yeah. So wow. This guy was working, like, as an immigration lawyer at some point. Got disbarred for something. I don't remember exactly what the issue was. And then, like, I think that's what sparred into the whole Mare Island creeping and then kidnapping and etc.
Okay, so this is just someone, God, really fell apart and not too
scared.
That's just so, yeah, I guess so. I just, it's hard for me to understand, like, if you, well, you know, we can never, you know, I don't know.
We're not
weird.
Psychologists. We don't understand the inner workings of the human brain.
I don't understand anything.
Ain't that the truth?
are you agreeing that I don't understand anything, or that we don't understand anything?
Both.
So we don't understand anything. All right.
I don't know what you're talking about. Gatekeep, gaslight, girl boss.
Yeah.
Oh God. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. So I just wanted to complain. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Again, recommend watching it. It's a fantastic. It is a weird series that, you know, it's just enough out of the ordinary that it's like, all right, hold on, this is interesting. There's a reason why it's number one on you know, Netflix right now. So, yep.
Okay.
Hope you guys enjoy. Make sure you like, rate, and share. You guys know what to do at this point.
You know the drill.
There you go. You know the drill. And you know what? We'll catch you next week.
Yeah.
Toodaloo. Bye.
Boo, 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 boo.